Blah Blah, first of all, and on the radio. God, we miss seeing Blah Blah live. This would be the time of year where they'd be going really strong. Such a shame there's no live music allowed at the moment. And Liam Gallagher, that's his new single. And All You're Dreaming Of. Is that a Christmas record?
It's very nice.
Sounds like a Christmas record, doesn't it? It's very nice, actually. Well done, Liam. 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. The northeastern French city of Rennes has won the title as the best place to live out of France's 20 largest cities, according to their inhabitants. Heard good things about Rennes, actually. It's got a very progressive mayor there. Now, Paris came near the bottom of the popularity scale in a survey that was presented in the French newspaper La Parisienne. These are resident data. That's to say they testified to the perception of the cities by their inhabitants themselves, said David Beaupère, one of the authors behind the study. Beaupère is the editor of job offer platforms Région Job and Paris Job, which conducted the study together with recruitment company Hays. To rank the cities, the authors of the report asked 3,454 inhabitants in the 20 cities, included about how happy they were with their city's quality of life, the general cost of living, and the quality of the infrastructure. Other indicators included how they were perceived as job opportunities, economic dynamism, and environmental and cultural offers. Rennes in Brittany won the first place this year, as it did last year when it stole the top spot from the southeastern city of Lyon. Inhabitants praised the city for its high quality of life, low levels of unemployment, generally low living costs, and high quality infrastructure. Afraid Nice didn't make the top 10.
Did it not?
No, only coming in 13th. So the top 10, not even Bordeaux made the top 10. I love Bordeaux, it's great, really
Toulouse?
Good city.
Did Toulouse make the top 10?
So look, top 10 in reverse order. 10, Montpellier. 9, Dijon. At 8, Tours. 7, Grenoble. Can't say I like Grenoble very much.
Around Grenoble, it's...
Get repeatedly lost trying to get through
Grenoble.
I bet
Angers is on the top 10, isn't it?
No. 6, Toulouse. 5, Brest. 4, Lyon. 3, Strasbourg. 2, Nantes. And 1, Rennes. Yes, Toulouse is supposed to be... I've never been to Toulouse, but I must go.
It's lovely.
Yes.
Very nice.
But well done, Rennes and Nice. Pull your socks up. 16 minutes past 8.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Step closer to Christmas. This is our penultimate Woofer of 2020. Thank you very much, Dawn, for all your efforts. What have we got this week?
Today, we've got a dog called Eden, and he's a Jack Russell, and he's looking for a very good home. This is a sad story, actually, because he had a perfectly normal family life until recently, and then he was given up by his owners because they had twins. So through no fault of his own, he's now looking for a new home. Like all Jack Russells, he's dynamic and affectionate, and he loves going for walks and needs new humans who will value and appreciate him. While he's a sociable dog with other dogs, I don't know how he is with cats, so possibly best avoided. And this lovely little chap is at the refuge SOS Foyer Chien Âgé in Saint-Vallier, that's the one above Grasse. And they are open by appointment from Monday to Saturday from 2 to 5. You can call Sandrine on 06-36-88-5731 to arrange to meet him and see him for yourself.
Yes, there are a number of possibilities for this one. We could have Peter Gabriel Blood of Eden.
Oh, yes, good call.
Or you could have Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Eden the Losers get lucky sometimes.
Did you literally just think of those out at the top of your head?
I did, yeah.
You're like a walking jukebox, you are.
Thinking on your feet. You could even have Don't Get Mad, Don't Get Mad, Get Eden.
Excellent.
Thank you, Dawn. Talk to you next week.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
Now it's Back to the Future with Sarah Lyson. Who do you think you are, Marty McFly?
1977 in the UK. Ooh. It was, of course, the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth. It was when the Ford Fiesta went on sale in the UK. You had one of those, didn't you?
No. No,
did you not? What was your red car?
We talked about this last week. It was an Opel Corsa.
Worst car I've ever had. Okay. And sadly, on this year, of course, rock and roll king Elvis Presley died, as well as Charlie Chaplin and the rock star Mark Bolan was killed in a car crash in Barnes in London. But a good thing in that the year was that the Star Wars film, which had been a massive hit in America, was screened for the first time in British cinemas. Question number one, which Chicago-based female vocal group had a number one single in the US in 1977 with their disco song Best of My Love?
The Emotions.
Correct. Question number two, still in 1977, which star from the hit TV series Starsky and Hutch recorded a top 10 US single?
David Soul.
And what was the song?
Don't Give Up on Us, Baby. Paul Michael Glazer, was it?
Well done.
Or Huggy Bear.
And finally, this is my earworm yesterday. You're Moving Out Today became an international hit for who?
Carol Bayer Sager.
It certainly did. It reached number six in the UK, spending 4 weeks at number one in Australia.
Yeah, surprised you remember that, really.
Ask me where it came from.
Pack up your rubber duck, I'd like to wish you luck.
It's brilliant.
Another words ending like that.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Morning, Robert.
How are we today?
Fine, thank you.
All right.
What's so funny? What are you laughing about?
None of this messing around this morning.
The only thing to laugh about this time of year is your Christmas record, which I've noticed you've not released this year.
You know, there's a lot of serious information to get out there. We're coming to a crucial point in the Brexit negotiations, and people want to hear the information, not the colour of Henry's pyjamas, please.
We've got matching pyjamas in our house this year, actually.
You told me that last week. Okay. I wasn't interested then.
Good.
Right, markets. Record highs on Wall Street yesterday. Asia up this morning. Optimism on COVID-19 vaccines and the hope of further fiscal stimulus, which Japan, of course, introduced yesterday.
Yeah, exactly right. US stocks rose to that record. Higher stimulus talks and vaccine hopes tempered concerns about tougher restrictions amid a surge in coronavirus cases. S&P 500 closed at an all-time high this after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell suggested setting aside some issues that have been roadblocks to a relief package. S&P 500 is up 0.3%. NASDAQ, the technology market, up 0.5%. Advanced for a 10th straight day, the longest rally in a year. Pfizer's shares jumped as US regulators gave early indications that they would grant emergency use authorization for its vaccine. Opening calls on the European bourses looking in pretty good shape this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 31 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 62 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 32 points.
Deal or no deal?
Boris Johnson will have dinner with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen in Brussels tonight in what has been described, well, from the UK side, as the last roll of the dice. Europe, the end of the end game. We know what will be on the menu. It'll be fish for starters, level playing field for main course, state aid, rules and regulations for dessert. On the positive side, EU-UK Joint Committee announced an agreement relating to the implementation of the withdrawal agreement, particularly in relation to Northern Ireland. That's separate to the EU trade negotiations and focused on how the Northern Ireland border will function, addressing issues such as border control posts and supply of medicines. The agreement means the UK has withdrawn some of those controversial clauses in the internal markets bill relating to the Northern Ireland Protocol and would have, of course, potentially breached international law. So some signs of compromise there.
Yes, so normally, you know, they have a five-course dinner for their friends, but it's only the three courses tonight. And will there be tariffs on any of the items, do you think? You know, pass the salt earth, you know? Certainly, Boris, but only if you pay me 10 euros.
Yeah. Things like cream and so forth, depending on where it comes from, will face additional tariffs. And of course, the threat of no deal continues to linger in the air. That's high stakes meal this evening. Well, I don't know if it'll be steaks, but high stakes dinner. Free movement of goods, services, people and capital, you know, would come up to an abrupt end when Britain leaves the European Union without a deal. And the fact that even with a deal, some of those elements, of course, will change. For companies, it's absolutely vital. They would face tariffs, quotas, disruption to its supply chains, particularly at borders. Citizens losing the rights to live and stay on the other side of the English Channel. Tariffs is the one to watch out for, though. British firms revert to trading with the European Union under World Trade Organization rules. The EU's average tariff rate is 3%, but we know for some goods it's much, much higher than that. British car makers, for example, would face a 10% tariff on exports to the European Union. Farmers exporting dairy products, there would be a 35% charge. And there would, of course, be an economic hit as well. The OBR forecasting the near-term shock to GDP would be somewhere in the region of 2%. So markets watching it closely, business leaders will be hoping for a deal.
Yeah, I bet I can serve something, you know, traditionally European tonight. It'll be something like snails to start with, followed by a really hot Hungarian goulash, and then Black Forest Gatto afterwards, your favourite.
I do like a bit of Black Forest Gatto. I was down in Hungary, I had some nice goulash actually down there. That's not a bad dish, actually.
It's very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Now, there are two schools of thought on that. Either there is, it's not going to be a deal, it's all done and dusted, he's just going over there to sort of put a brave face on us, or he's kind of already crumbled, as we saw with the internal market bill yesterday, and he will come back announcing triumphantly that he's secured the best deal in the world.
Yeah, the school of thought being actually that he wouldn't have gone, quite frankly, if he didn't think a deal was achievable or indeed possible. So that is the general consensus, and the sentiment kind of line with that. And certainly if you look at foreign exchange markets, that has been suggested. The pound holding up relatively well, given the turmoil and the volatile backdrop in which we're operating in. So as always, I think the timeline continues to be a problem. The clock is ticking as we head towards the end of the year, but it looks like it's going to go right to the wire, which is somewhat of a disappointment after more than 4 years of having time to do it. Seems ridiculous we find ourselves with weeks, maybe hours to go before we get definitive conclusion.
Well, politically, it's very difficult for him as well, because if he goes back and says he's got a deal, then the ERG and Nigel Farage and co will shout treason. And if he goes for no deal, all the moderates will say, what on earth have you done?
Yeah, it's always been a difficult line, there's no doubt, particularly for Boris Johnson. Remember, he came to power back in December 2019, promising to get Brexit done. It's been far from a smooth path, but there's still the opportunity to do that. And you could argue certain elements, the Eurosceptic elements of the Conservative Party's power has weakened and was weakened by the size of his majority from the 2019 election.
Well, I don't know about that, because I mean, if you look at the way the vote went on the lockdown measures, I mean, it was the same usual suspects from the ERG voting against lockdown as well. So, I mean, they're still there, you know, and they could possibly regroup.
They're still there. But I think there has been a structural change taking place in terms of the balance of power within the Conservative Party. And alongside that, you could argue that departures from number 10 beyond MPs, the likes of Dominic Cummings, etc., has also given the Prime Minister greater room to manoeuvre in terms of getting a deal. But it's all a little bit too political for me, it has to be said.
I wouldn't blame him if he legs it and just rents a nice Airbnb for Christmas.
Airbnb has increased the price of its range on its IPO, pushing its potential valuation to as much as $42 billion. We now offer its shares for between $56 and $60 a piece. That's up from $44 to $50 original range. The home rental company has seen a bounce back in domestic bookings since the early days of the pandemic. Take you back to April, of course, bookings were down, they said, 70% globally. In May, they were forced to lay off 25% of its workforce, halting nearly all its marketing. But in recent months, they've benefited from staycations, and they say longer-term stays have seen a substantial increase as well. Future growth could be driven around its experiences product, as they add things like guided activities such as cooking classes and sightseeing, where obviously the margins would be healthy. Airbnb will price its offering today, will begin trading tomorrow.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar looking a little bit volatile, but 133.5. Euro dollar coming in at 121 this morning. Going to get a mere 1 euro 10 cents for your British pound.
Bet they're still talking on Friday.
Yeah, I think it would be a long dinner if they're still talking.
Well, not them personally, but the Sherpas.
I mean, that's really, you know, that pushes it on. I mean, even for Boris, that's a long dinner.
Well, it depends how much leaf-fram milk he gets through tonight, doesn't
that's
it?
That's true,
really?
That's true.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leiter has the top stories across the Riviera.
A helicopter belonging to a private French company which conducts search and rescue missions and other air services across France has crashed in the French Alps, killing 5 of the 6 people on board. The accident occurred on Tuesday at around 7 p.m. in Savoie. The pilot of the aircraft is in a critical condition in hospital. It's not yet known if the crew on board were carrying out training or a rescue operation. An investigation has been opened. In a tweet, French President Emmanuel Macron shared support from the nation to the families, friends and colleagues of these French heroes. French Interior Minister Gérald Damien will visit the site of the incident later today. In other news, France's State Council has rejected an appeal from restaurant owners against the closure of their establishments. The Union des Métiers et des Industries de l'Hôtelier seized France's highest court at the end of November to contest the closure of bars and restaurants as part of the fight against the COVID-19 epidemic. They were hoping to be able to open restaurants before January the 15th. The UMIH of the Provence-Alpes, Côte d'Azur and Corsica has reacted with anger following the decision, announcing plans to demonstrate in Paris on December the 14th. The French government is working on a plan to curb the second and possibly a third wave of COVID-19. Mobile health teams are to be set up as part of a test, alert, protect strategy. The teams will tend to COVID-19 patients and test family members and primary contacts at their homes to allow for more effective isolation. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron is to chair a meeting of the Defence Council today, with a press conference from French Prime Minister Jean Castex and the Minister of Health Olivier Véran to follow at 6 p.m. on Thursday. It's believed that they will address the issue of whether coronavirus numbers are low enough to permit the end of lockdown, which is scheduled for next Tuesday, the 15th of December. Following weeks of protests over police violence in France, French President Emmanuel Macron has said there is an urgent need to reform the security forces. Macron has said that he will hold a summit next month to review community relations and the working conditions of the police. In a letter to a leading police union this week, the head of state said, "I want to move quickly and concretely." Prosecutors in the political corruption trial of former French President Nicolas Sarkozy have called for him to be sentenced to a prison term of 4 years, of which he should serve 2. The 65-year-old is the country's first modern head of state to appear in the dock. Prosecutors asked for the same punishment for Sarkozy's lawyer and co-defendant Thierry Herzog, as well as the judge Gilbert Azibert. The Town Hall of Antibes is opening a book of condolence for Valérie Giscard d'Estaing, who died on December the 2nd. Today marks a national day of tribute in memory of the former French president. The city of Antibes, Joan Lépin, is providing a register at the Town Hall on the Cour Masséna to allow everyone to pay a written tribute. The register will remain available at the Town Hall until the end of the week. The town of Lamballe in Brittany has closed a regional road for 3 months to allow frogs to cross without being run over. From December the 14th until March the 15th, the road will be blocked at the level of the town of Lamballe to allow frogs to cross the river. Last year, the same action was taken, saving the lives of thousands of frogs, toads and newts. The RD28 is not particularly busy during this period, about 400 vehicles per day, but it takes only one car to kill several frogs. In total, 11 protected species cross the area each year during the breeding season. And finally, the largest ever EuroMillions jackpot is still up for grabs after nobody won the top prize on Tuesday. Meanwhile, those who took part in the Lotto Powerball draw on Tuesday, December the 1st in South Africa, couldn't believe their eyes when they saw the results appear on their screens. 5 consecutive numbers were drawn and the complementary number completes the following: 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and the complementary number Powerball 10. According to some, it's a scam, but the 20 lucky winners will certainly disagree. The South African Lottery tweeted, "Congratulations to our 20 Powerball winners tonight. These numbers may be unexpected, but we're seeing many players playing these combinations."
Riviera Radio, sports news.
You don't listen to a word I say, do you?
What?
We did that last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We even talked about it together.
Did we really? Yeah, there we go.
Football. Manchester United have been knocked out of the European Champions League after losing their final group game, and the other group game between PSG and Istanbul Başakşehir will have to be completed today after the players from both sides left the field accusing a match official of using a racist term towards one of Istanbul's backroom staff. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United missed out on progressing to the knockout stage of the European Champions League after a 3-1 defeat to RB Leipzig. United went 3-0 down before Bruno Fernandes pulled one back from the penalty spot 10 minutes from time. The former United defender Phil Neville said United were undone by a very poor start.
They were all over the place in the first 30 minutes. Leipzig just got the better of it tactically, and it wasn't until half-time till Van der Beek came on and then Pogba came on. They went to a flat back four that United got control of the game, but the first 30 minutes they were absolutely all over the place. To go behind after 2 minutes to a really soft goal and then 10 minutes later to go 2-0 down left them an absolute mountain to climb. And we said at the start of the game that they do have tremendous spirit and fight back qualities, but against the best teams you cannot go 2-0 down.
Chelsea, who'd already secured top spot in their group, fielded an inexperienced side against Krasnodar. A penalty from Jorginho secured a 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge. Liverpool and Manchester City both secured their places in the last 16 ahead of their final group matches on Wednesday. Liverpool faced the Danish side FC Midtjylland, while City could have Sergio Aguero back for their match against the French side Marseille. The Argentina striker's only played four times since injuring his knee in June. City face rivals Manchester United in the Premier League on Saturday, so will boss Pep Guardiola rest players for Wednesday's European match?
I don't rest players. I don't say these players don't play now because I'm thinking about the other ones. So we play against Oporto, like we played to qualify first in the Champions League, and I put in our players and they were awesome. We concede one clear chances and no more against Oporto. It's incredible success. So I said many times, the team is going to play tomorrow, they can play against United. And the guys that don't play tomorrow, maybe don't play against United, or maybe play, I don't know. But tomorrow my focus is, I want to win this game tomorrow.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
In the English Championship last night, Coventry and Luton drew 0-0. Huddersfield were 2-0 winners over Sheffield Wednesday. Millwall and QPR drew 1-1. Stoke lost 2-1 at home to Cardiff. Swansea and Bournemouth drew 0-0. And Watford beat Rotherham 2-0. Rugby Union, England's former World Cup winner Steve Thompson's revealed he's suffering with early onset dementia and has joined a group of players who are starting a claim against the game's authorities for negligence. The 42-year-old, who was part of England's 2003 winning World Cup side, says he can't remember playing in any of the games. Then it's frightening. The group is claiming that playing rugby has left them with permanent brain damage and that repeated blows to the head are to blame. And compensation settlements could be running into millions of pounds and have wide-reaching implications for the future of the sport. And in Formula One, Lewis Hamilton says he's working to be fit for the season finale after contracting coronavirus and having to isolate in Bahrain. In a video post on social media, the seven-time world champion said it had been one of the hardest weeks he'd had for some time. And as he'd been focusing on recovering and trying to get back into shape, Hamilton will not be allowed to leave Bahrain until he's had a negative test. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Maritime in the Var. The general situation is a depression 995 millibars west of Corsica moving east. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 997 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 5 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 996 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showery, force 3 to 5, northwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Not too bad today, partially cloudy and moderate westerly winds, top temperature 12 degrees, overnight lows 7 degrees on the coast, 3 degrees inland with clear skies, Thursday and Friday mainly fine tomorrow with a high of 11, sunshine and showers on Friday with a high of 10 degrees. Finally,
dogs struggle to detect differences between similar sounding words like dog and dig, according to a new study. Scientists put electrodes on doggies' heads to measure signs of recognition from brain activity as they listen to various spoken words. The dog listened to known words like sit, similar but nonsense words, sut. Results showed that dog brains could tell the difference between known words and very different nonsense words, but they couldn't tell the difference between known words and similar nonsense words, which differed in a single speech sound only. This may explain why dogs typically recognise only a few words in their lifetime, such as sit and down, or not even that, and why owners have trouble teaching them meanings of new words that sound similar to ones they've already learned.
So I think it's because humans sort of mainly speak rubbish to dogs, like, he's a good boy, you know. No wonder they don't understand what we're saying.
I don't know what Lucky's excuse is. She just ignores me.
The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc.